This is the first of our two exclusive KGEZ Good Morning Show drill downs, made possible by Bailey Insurance Services, to Washington, D.C., and Linda Kenyon.
Good morning, Linda. How's the humidity?
It's so humid today.
Oh.
It's raining.
Well, that's very humid.
That's pretty humid, yeah.
Well, anyway.
Well, it's one thing it was doing yesterday is raining votes in the United States Senate. How did that turn out?
Yeah, yesterday the Senate voted for the second time on a bill that would guarantee access to IVF in vitro fertilization, a direct response to the Supreme Court's overturning of Roe v. Wade and an opinion written by Justice Clarence Thomas saying contraception, suggesting, floating the idea, contraception and other reproductive issues could be next. Former President Trump has been very proud of the overturning of Roe v. Wade, sending the matter back to the individual states to decide on abortion limits or on abortion bans outright. But then the state of Alabama banned the IVF treatments, and that created a whole firestorm on both sides of the aisle, by the way, for people who want to become parents and who want to take the advantage of the available treatments through IVF. So the Democrats yesterday, spearheaded, by the way, by Senator Tammy Duckworth of Illinois, put a bill on the floor to guarantee access to IVF and to make it something that cannot be touched by the courts. Well, it was voted down. It needed 60 votes to proceed. It only got 51. Two Republicans voted along with all of the Democrats, and that was Senators Murkowski of Alaska and Senator Susan Collins of Maine, the only two women who voted for it. Now, why did they defeat it? Well, they say that it's just a political move, and this is just an election year ploy. And the Democrats are saying even President Trump himself has backpedaled on the issue of IVF and said he supports IVF. So if he really did support IVF, they said, why isn't he on the phone telling his Republicans to vote for the IVF bill? Well, the Republicans said that they had a different bill that they preferred. It wasn't quite as strong, but they preferred that bill. And then former President Trump came out just before, well, just a couple of days ago, saying that he supported an IVF bill that would include mandatory coverage by insurance companies and by the government to pay for all IVF treatments. And some Republicans don't like that. They say it goes too far. So the bill died yesterday.
Was it, and I think Ted Cruz made the point, he said, hey, this is just a precursor to overturning Roe v. Wade. Is Senator Cruz right on this?
Well, you know, he says there isn't one person in the chamber who opposes IVF, not one person. But he said this bill is just a political ploy. It just wants to do something to embarrass Republicans, to jam them, and to basically kind of call their bluff, saying you say you're for IVF, but you're not. And yes, the Democrats want to bring back some of the reproductive rights that they say have been taken away from women. And women are a very important voting bloc. So, yeah, I mean, everything that happens in an election year is not by accident. It's a very carefully calculated political move. But it's also a very emotional issue, especially for the two sponsors of the bill, Senator Tammy Duckworth. You may recall she is a disabled American veteran. She lost two legs in fighting for America. She is the first woman senator to have given birth while serving in office as a U.S. senator. And I remember the day she brought her first daughter in the Senate chamber with her, and what a milestone that was. She has two daughters, both of whom she was able to have via IVF. So this is not just personal for her, although it is extremely personal. It's very personal for a lot of women. And it is the very cold, hard fact that women vote in greater numbers, by the way, than men.
Yeah, it's interesting that you make that point. My wife and I were watching coverage the other night, and she said, you know what? this election is going to be decided by women. Mm. Women are so engaged right now.
Yeah.
Are you seeing that from your perspective?
I am seeing that quite a bit. In fact, when President Biden decided not to seek re-election, I was doing the dreaded man on the street interviews, or in this case, woman on the street interviews, because none of the men wanted to talk to me. But all the women wanted to talk to me, and they were so enthusiastic. On the one hand, sad about Joe Biden dropping out, but on the other hand, re-energized that Harris was in the race, and saying that they were all going to be involved in getting out the vote efforts, and they were going to tell their friends to get out and vote and join the efforts. And it was an outpouring of women excited and energized by the race, and men, not so much. And that's just a microcosm of the general populace out there. But I found that it was quite startling that none of the men wanted to talk about it, but all the women did, which has to tell you something.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not sure what, but it certainly is an interesting perspective. I want to step aside here for a minute. We can talk about the presidential election all day long and all the crazy things that are being said by everybody, but let's focus on government funding here, because this one is staring us right in the face. We could very well see our government shut down by the end of the month if something doesn't happen.
Yeah, so today, House Speaker Mike Johnson, who originally pulled a six-month funding bill, a continuing resolution that would continue current funding levels, for 6 months, because they need a stopgap funding bill so there's no government shutdown at the end of this month, which is coming very fast and furious. He pulled the bill because there wasn't enough support for it from his own caucus. Today, he says he's going to put the same bill on the floor. And if that doesn't work, he's going to do it again tomorrow. And if that doesn't work, he's going to keep doing it. And that senators and members of the House are on standby, and especially in the House, where the spending bill has to originate, and they are saying, you know, we may have to work through the weekend. Well, this is what happens when you have to cram for the final exam and you haven't done your homework or even attended class. So we're going to have a situation here where this six-month continuing resolution will come to the floor. Among the reasons that some Republicans oppose it is it doesn't have enough defense spending. Others say it's a six-month spending bill is too long to continue current funding levels when there has to be some changes in funding levels. So for some, it's too much. For some, it's too little. And for Democrats, they don't like the six-month funding bill very much either, because this puts spending right in the hands of the next administration, whoever he or she may be.
I don't understand the citizenship requiring proof of citizenship to vote. Don't we already do that?
Yeah, there's an amendment on the bill called the SAVE Act. The Senate is saying we want a clean bill. We don't want a poison pill. They consider this SAVE Act to be a poison pill. What it does is it requires voters to produce proof of citizenship. That's already in the law. However, it is viewed as an effort to suppress minority voters, and that is a huge election issue. Now, a lot of minority voters say, look, you know, we live in perhaps, in this case, in the big cities, and they don't have driver's licenses, which is their ID, so they have to produce other forms of ID, and sometimes those are hard to get. And so, you know, some states may require you to just bring an electric bill, for example, with your name and address on it. Others may require you to bring, a birth certificate or something of that nature, or require you to go to the motor vehicle department and get an alternative ID, which if anybody has enjoyed standing in line at the motor vehicle department in any respective state, you know that's not pleasant and it can take hours. But sometimes people can't take off from work to do that. So, yes, it's already a law, and the Democrats are saying you're just trying to suppress black and brown voters. And Republicans are saying, what's wrong with it? Well, what's wrong with it is that it may stifle the entire bill, and that's a problem if you're trying to avoid a government shutdown.
It was an interesting point you're making there. When I was in New York, our office's Music Choice was right on 34th Street and 8th Avenue. And just a block down from Penn Station. And the driver's license, New York driver's license office, was right there on 34th Street. And I marveled that, and I came to work fairly early. Most New Yorkers don't come to work that early, but I did because I can get a lot done before they all come in. And I was amazed there was a line around the block at like 7 o'clock in the morning to get a driver's license or to get an ID. So to your point, in some cities it's really takes a long time to get a driver's license. Here in Montana, you make an appointment and you slip right in. And boy, I got mine renewed, and you know, in 15 minutes I was in and out. So you know, some states are better than others.
Yeah, it takes time. Now they have the Real ID, which requires all sorts of paperwork, and it's not an easy thing. By the way, you can hear me; I'm standing outside. Yeah. You might hear some background noise here. But it took me 2 days. 2 days to get my driver's license.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not funny when you have to lose 2 days of pay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you're a day worker and that's how you're paid, you bet.
So then the same thing could be true of these new requirements to voter registration.
Precisely.
Losing pay.
Yeah.
And, right.
Yeah. And I can see where this would have a bigger effect in the larger cities like Washington, D.C., and, you know, and then here in Montana, though we have had lines before, they've really streamlined things in our state, which I really commend our Department of Licensing for doing that. Linda, just a little more on the government funding issue here. Do you see, from your observations anyway, through this, are we going to have a government shutdown in an election year?
Nobody wants a government shutdown in an election year. Even the Senate minority leader, the top Republican in the U.S. Senate, Senator Mitch McConnell, said, everybody knows that a government shutdown is a loser. It cost the government billions of dollars last time. You have to make up all of the pay for workers who were not paid. You have to pay overtime for those who were forced to work without pay and then had to wait way down the line to get paid. He said, nobody can look at this with a straight face and say, I want a government shutdown, because the consequences are the American taxpayer ends up footing the bill, and it's an expensive one. Will there be a government shutdown? Well, I think what will happen is they'll go to the brink, as they often do, and on an 11th hour vote, they will pass a CR, continuing resolution, that will be a clean CR. In other words, no poison pill amendments. That's my crystal ball prediction.
And all of us will breathe a sigh of relief and congratulate the Congress for agreeing on something.
Probably.
Linda, as always, we appreciate your great reporting, and thank you for drilling down for us this morning.
Well, thank you, and have a wonderful day.